20% of Kentuckians live below the federal poverty line, making it fifth in the nation among the states. In response, Republican Representative Hal Rogers and Democratic Governor Steve Beshear joined forces in founding Shaping Our Appalachian Region, or SOAR.
The idea for some type of initiative in eastern Kentucky to diversify our economy came about in 2013 when there was that precipitous drop in employment in our coal industry and thousands of people were thrown out of work.
Economic development in eastern Kentucky is our topic on this week's Eastern Standard. The governor joins us with an update on what SOAR is doing for Kentuckians. We're interested in hearing from you with your questions, comments, or stories about economic development in eastern Kentucky. Write to us by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Post a comment to the WEKU Facebook page or send a tweet at WEKUEST. In a little while, we'll be opening the phones as well. It's time for Eastern Standard right after the latest news from NPR. From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, this is Eastern Standard. I'm John Hingsberg. And Kentucky has one of the highest poverty rates in the country, and the Eastern Kentucky region contributes heavily to that statistic. One of the things being done in the Commonwealth is SOAR, or Shaping Our Appalachian Region. And with us in the studio to discuss the economy of Eastern Kentucky, our first up, Sandy Curd, Promise Zone Coordinator for Kentucky Highlands Investment Corporation, whose mission is to provide and retain employment opportunities in southeastern Kentucky. Sandy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, John. Good to be here.
Also with us, Ian Moores, coming back to the studios, has been a guest at least one time before. He's actually a neighbor here on campus. He's Executive Director of Eastern Kentucky University Center for Economic Development, Entrepreneurship and Technology, CEDET, which works to promote economic development in economically distressed areas. Ian, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
We'll get back to Ian and Sandy, but first, Governor Steve Beshear. I spoke with him this week about SOAR and its origins in 2013, following a precipitous drop in employment in the state's coal industry.
Congressman Hal Rogers and I started talking at that time about what we could do to stem that tide and move toward a diversification of the economy of eastern Kentucky. And out of those conversations came the idea of bringing eastern Kentuckians together in an organized way to begin addressing all of the issues that will help us diversify that economy. We had a summit in Pikeville in December of 2013. We just announced it, put out information about it, and thousands of people showed up. It was very exciting to see that people, and we sort of had a snowstorm around it also, not very good weather, and lots of people came out because they were as interested as we were in coming together and starting to find some solutions to our economy in eastern Kentucky. Out of that summit came an executive committee and a formal organization for what SOAR stands for, which is Shaping Our Appalachian Region. And we now have that organization together. We put working groups together. They worked over the next year, held hearings and listening sessions all over eastern Kentucky, and came back with lots of ideas about how to move the whole region forward. You know, this is a long-term effort. There are no quick answers, no easy answers, but Congressman Rogers and I knew one thing. We knew that for anything like this to be successful, that the people of eastern Kentucky had to take ownership of it. Mm-hmm. It had to be them that was going to make this happen and not just he and I looking in from the outside, so to speak, from the political world. And
What would you say would be the actual goal? How do you know when the economy of eastern Kentucky has been diversified?
Well, you know, the goal is to create more jobs in eastern Kentucky so that our folks can stay there, live there, enjoy the quality of life you can have there, and not have to leave the area to go find a job someplace else. And this is going to be a long-term project. You know, this is going to be 10 jobs at a time, 15 jobs at a time, with entrepreneurs, with small companies, with lots of different types of activity going on that will create different kinds of jobs for the future. We had groups in the agriculture area to think about what can we do in that area that will create more jobs in eastern Kentucky, all the way from more farmers markets to growing more of our own food and making it a foodier place in terms of restaurants. You know, it's examples like that we've got got to pursue all across every economic sector. Tourism is going to be a big thing for Eastern Kentucky because of the beauty of the mountains and all of the things that you can do that will attract all of these folks. You know, we just created the Dawkins Line, which is an old rail bed. And now it's going to be a 20 to 30 mile hiking, biking, horseback riding trail that will mimic some of the similar kinds of things in Virginia that now attract thousands of people every year to that area. So it's just a real combination of different things that are going to be happening.
Have you seen documentation of jobs saved or people who have chosen not to leave the Commonwealth as a result of these efforts? Or have you seen some increases in employment at this point?
Well, we've been in existence for a year. You know, you're not going to see a fundamental shift in an economy of a region in just a year. What I have seen is extreme enthusiasm by a lot of people in Eastern Kentucky to make this happen and coming together to start planting those seeds and those ideas to make it happen. Two big things that we're doing that will affect this effort. One is I got the legislature to approve money to four-lane the entire Mountain Parkway all the way from Central Kentucky to Pikeville and beyond. And this will give that part of Eastern Kentucky basically a four-lane interstate highway. And all you've got to do is drive down other interstate highways in this country, and you see what happens off of those highways. It's development. It's the economy improving off of and in those communities off of that interstate. The second thing we're doing is we're doing the biggest public-private partnership to ever go on in Kentucky to build out the middle mile of high-speed broadband all over the state, but the first priority is Eastern Kentucky. That's going to happen over the next year and a half to 2 years, and we're going to be able to have high-speed broadband in every small community around Kentucky and particularly in Eastern Kentucky, because companies will tell you now that having high-speed broadband is just as essential as running water and electricity to their success. If you don't have that, they're not going to be where you are. And so that is a major effort that has excited a lot of people in Eastern Kentucky, because with that will come more development.
So you're talking two forms of superhighway, an information superhighway as well as the concrete and asphalt version.
That's exactly right, because the information superhighway these days allow people to sit in their own homes and do business around the world. We see that in other parts of our state. We need to see that in Eastern Kentucky, and I believe we will.
Let's talk about the bipartisan nature of this effort of shaping our Appalachian region. Collaboration with Congressman Hal Rogers, fairly high-ranking Republican representative of the state of Kentucky, versus a Democratic governor. How did this come about? How were you able to forge this bipartisan relationship?
Well, fortunately, Congressman Rogers and I both understand that in the political world, if you ever want to get anything done, you've got to put aside this rank partisanship that has pervaded our politics, particularly at the Washington, D.C. level, and sit down as two people using common sense to figure out a solution to a problem. Fortunately, Congressman Rogers and I are old friends. We've known each other a long time, and that helped us to get together to push aside the political stuff and call upon everybody in Eastern Kentucky, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, everybody, to push that stuff aside and just sit down together and work as Kentuckians to make some good things happen. And I'm excited to say that so far it's working very well. Obviously, Congressman Rogers is high-ranking in D.C. politics. He's the chairman of the House Appropriations Committee. He's been able to bring a lot of attention to this effort from Washington, and we've ended up with a lot of federal dollars flowing in to help in planning efforts and help in outreach and in other ways. And I've combined that with funds from the state level to combine with that. And so we've got some good things going. We just held our second summit in April of this year. We were going to have it in December again, but we had a snowstorm that you wouldn't believe, and nobody could get there. So we had it. We had 1,300 people to show up. Continued enthusiasm, continuing to build on all of that effort that's gone on for the first year. So, as I say, John, this is a long haul kind of situation. you're not going to see immediate results. You know, you've got to invest in this future. But I think all of us know it's worth doing.
Well, Governor, at this year's SOAR Strategy Summit, U.S. Secretary of Labor Thomas Perez announced $35 million in federal funding now available to places like Eastern Kentucky. How will this money be used to help and maybe give a jump start to your initiative?
Well, Secretary Perez and Secretary Vilsack and Agriculture up in D.C. and several others pulled together some existing funds in the federal budget to make it available for places like Eastern Kentucky and like this SOAR initiative to have folks apply for various kinds of projects in the region. And it's going to have to come from partnerships that the region itself forms up. And we're working on those right now to make application for a lot of this money to invest in various ideas in Eastern Kentucky. We do know that not everything is going to work. But, you know, we're not going to be afraid to try new things in Eastern Kentucky because some of them will work. And we'll learn from our failures just as we learn from our successes. And over the long haul, we'll build a foundation of an economy there that will last into the future. You know, coal is going to continue to be a part of the economy of Eastern Kentucky. But I think we all realize that it's never going to provide the number of jobs that it used to. And if we don't diversify that economy, then you're not going to see a place where very many people can continue to live because there are not going to be the jobs available for them to work and raise their families and support their families into the future.
So what's next for SOAR? What are the next steps we will see as this initiative moves forward?
You're going to see this broadband initiative build out. You're going to see hopefully a lot of partnerships in Eastern Kentucky applying for these federal funds and starting to try out these new ideas in Eastern Kentucky. It's going to be exciting, I think, to see, and they're going to be small efforts, you know, in a county or in a group of counties, to see how they can build some of these ideas out into several entrepreneurships that will go on in Eastern Kentucky or several co-ops that can be set up there in the agriculture area. There's going to be a lot of new ideas being tried out. And as I mentioned, some of them will succeed, some of them will fail. But this is the way we'll build success.
What about continued public input for SOAR? Are you still soliciting input from the general public?
Oh, yes. And several of the working groups will continue to hold listening sessions. And we will have a summit at least every year. And also, I think there is talk of more regional meetings to just continue to get this public input because we've got to have the buy-in of folks in Eastern Kentucky for this to be successful. And so far, we're excited about how much buy-in we're seeing. But as all efforts like this see, it's hard to keep excitement and momentum going. And so we're going to really work at that because it'll take us 15 to 20 years to make this a success.
Governor Beshear, your term as governor is going to end soon. How will SOAR continue under the next administration?
Well, I have already sat down with Jack Conway, who's our attorney general and the Democratic nominee for governor, and he is wholeheartedly endorsing this effort and will be a part of this effort should he become governor. And Congressman Rogers is going to be doing that with the Republican nominee. I'm sure and I'm confident that no matter who wins this governor's race, they will join up with Congressman Rogers and keep this movement going.
Governor Steve Beshear, thank you so much for your time and updating us on the status of the Shaping Our Appalachian Region Initiative, SOAR.
Thank you very much for having me.
On this week's Eastern Standard, economic development in Eastern Kentucky. We're interested in hearing from you by email at wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Post a comment on the WEKU Facebook page or send us a tweet at WEKUEST. In a little while, we'll open the phones. We are live on Thursday morning. And our guests in the studio, Ian Moores and Sandy Curd, will tell us more about what's happening with SOAR and economic development issues in Eastern Kentucky on this week's program. Our toll-free number, 800-621-8890.
was born and raised at the mouth of the Hazard Holler. Coal cars roaring and rumbling past my door. Now they're standing rusty, old and empty.
Throughout today's program, you'll hear some tracks from the great Jean Ritchie. We note her passing, and her music, of course, could not be any more appropriate for our topic of economic development in Eastern Kentucky on this week's Eastern Standard. I'm John Hingsbergen with guests in the studio, Ian Moores, Executive Director of EKU's Center for Economic Development, working to promote economic development in economically distressed areas of Kentucky, and Sandy Curd, Promise Zone Coordinator for Kentucky Highlands Investment Corporation. Their mission is to provide and retain employment opportunities in southeastern Kentucky, and we're going to ask Sandy to tell us more about this Promise Zone, the first of the Promise Zones happening here in Kentucky. But we want to remind you, you can get in touch with us by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com, post on the Facebook page, send a tweet at WEKUEST, or call 800-621-8890. Ian and Sandy, Governor Beshear spoke about the downturn of the coal industry, inspiring the SOAR initiative. What economic impact has that downturn had on eastern Kentucky? Which of you wants to jump in and fill us in?
Well, my area in the Promise Zone is 8 counties in southeast Kentucky, and we looked at that and saw that there were 4,000 direct coal mining jobs that were removed from our economy in about 18 months.
That was in 2013, was when that occurred?
2013 and 2014, yes. And we estimate that there are 3 indirect jobs for every direct job. There were a massive loss of, for lack of a better word, the employed middle class of these communities.
Yeah, and I think what we find in rural areas is the economy takes a little longer to catch up. You know, especially in our area where it's very rural. We may be behind the national economy gaining momentum and seeing job creation, just as we're seeing in Kentucky and parts of the state unemployment improving in more of our urban areas. But in parts of eastern Kentucky and in central Appalachia, we're still seeing high rates of unemployment. And so we still have some of those nagging issues there. Like the governor said, we just need to take the long view to look at these economic developments. A slow process.
It's not like the coal industry is going to turn around or rebound, is it?
My position on that has been, each time I go and talk in our community, is that, you know, I hope coal does come back. But when it comes back, let it represent 30% of the economy and not 98%. You know, let's go ahead and diversify ourselves. If it's possible for it to return, super. That's, you know, that's jobs and that's wonderful. But let's have created an economy that is not so dependent upon that, that every time there's a downturn in the Wall Street or anywhere else, we're sitting there and trying to rebuild ourselves.
And I think, if I may say, we're two people that are relatively new to the area of economic development.
Yes.
and in Kentucky, and there have been a lot of people ahead of before us.
Absolutely.
Who've had a lot of great ideas, and people have been working at this a long time. And I think we need to all step back and recognize that this is a long process, but we can create a new reality for ourselves and diversify the economy. And that's, when you talk about diversify the economy, I think what sometimes people say is it's one answer. You know, maybe the answer is tourism. There is not a singular answer. And so to me, diversify the economy means that we're going to try every single thing we can put to play and try. And if it fails, it fails. If it works, it works. We're going to try everything possible within our means. And all of the organizations that are working in Eastern Kentucky and our universities are all committed to trying and working together and breaking down old barriers. And
absolutely.
I think our governor and Congressman Rogers have set a perfect example for two people of different parties to come together and work for the
absolutely
future of Eastern Kentucky.
We've thrown out that figure of 20% of Kentuckians under the poverty level. I would imagine that is aggregated across the Commonwealth of Kentucky, so Eastern Kentucky, it's going to be a much higher percentage?
It is, and I don't have that figure right on the tip of my tongue, and I'm sorry about that,
but
John,
we can assume.
Yes, absolutely. Well, and when we put in our application for Promisone in 2013, one of the statistics that we looked at was the median income of our eight counties. The median income in Kentucky is around $40,000 a year, and the highest we had in our counties was below, it was almost like $25,000.
Just and the poverty level is in the range of $18,000, correct?
And I think sometimes it's misleading a little bit for especially folks who might be outsiders looking in to look at those numbers and think, my gosh, you know, I'm going to put a company there.
Yeah.
And I would actually say, yeah, you should, because we have some of the best and brightest. We have a number of organizations working for our future, and our future is our youngest, our best, and our brightest. And certainly we're going to lose some folks because we're not going to be able to move fast enough economically to create those enough opportunities to keep as many as we want. But like the governor said, we're gonna have these job wins, 10, 15, and they're just going to keep adding up. So I think that we have that opportunity. There's a lot of low-hanging fruit for Eastern Kentucky to create a new economy.
What's being done right now for the displaced coal miners and those families impacted directly by the downturn in the industry in 2013 and 14?
One of our partners, EKCEPT, Eastern Kentucky Concentrated Employment Program, has received a number of million-dollar emergency funds for the retraining of those coal miners, giving them new skills, and they've been partnering up with our community colleges, with our state institutions, and being able to give them viable vocational skills, which emphasizes what they did best in the coal mines, and then expanding that. For example, lineman training. They have classes going on every semester at the Hazard Community and Technical College, and training men and women to climb telephone poles, to learn how to be able to run that wire. And these are jobs that our goal or hope is that once they find employment, they might leave Monday through Friday to go wherever the job is, but then be able to return home, not having to uproot family, children, and sell their real estate and those types of things.
With the potential of expansion of broadband services, mean that some of those very skills might be used right there at home?
Absolutely. Plus, we are looking at doing training on how to splice fiber optics and how to run fiber optics. And so, yes, we are very hopeful that with the public-private partnership that the governor mentioned with that broadband and its phase one priority being Eastern Kentucky, in particular, our little, you know, eight-county region down in southeast Kentucky, but employing each and every one of those guys, yes.
Yeah, I'll just add, I'm looking at an article I printed off this morning that talks about a gentleman named, who's a former mining engineer named Rusty Justice, who tapped some of these general workforce training funds to hire 10 apprentices, including 9 former coal workers, for a software and website development startup called BitSource.
Yes.
And this is his answer to businessman Michael Bloomberg's flippant remark at a 2014 energy summit that you're not going to teach a coal miner to code. So he took that to heart and said, oh, well, whatever you want to bet.
Hmm.
So I think that's great. We need more Rusties. And I met a coal miner who'd been laid off from a $80,000 a year job in Pikeville recently at that summit. And he was cleaning the windows and, you know, sort of washing and cleaning up after us folks there for the conference. And his immediate concern was putting food on the table.
Yes.
Sure, he'd like to dream about the opportunity to do something else, but right now his main concern is feeding the mouths of his children. And I think we've got to – that's part of our big challenge, I think, is to capture them somehow to get them to dream. I think that's a hard position, having been laid off myself in the past. That's a hard position to come to. And
absolutely.
When you're really trying to pay the bills and keep food on the table,
right.
And it's hard. But people are willing to take those chances, and we just need to – figure out how we can get more of them to do that.
Let's talk a little bit about the other highway that we were discussing with the governor, the Bluegrass Mountain Parkway. Am I correct that there's a new proposal that just came out this week? Speaker Stumbo is proposing an extension of the highway, maybe even over into West Virginia?
Well, you've caught me. Are you up to par on that?
Ahead. Extend the Mountain Parkway.
It was in the news yesterday afternoon here on WEKU, of course.
West Virginia. Well, wasn't that always the original vision of Hal Rogers Parkway? Wasn't it supposed to extend all the way over from West Virginia, Virginia, come across that lower part of the state and be that connection, that highway, all the way through eastern Kentucky to bring people in, goods and services out, et cetera? So as much as I know.
Yes. Well, and I can just tell you from one of our communities, Harlan County, they have, every time I get to visit them, there is some discussion on the fact that there is no crossroads going through their county. If you go to Harlan County, it's because you specifically have business to do in Harlan County. And that's a huge economic deterrent for them. They need to be able to have access so that people are passing through the area to be able to benefit off of that part of the economy. Now, will the Hal Rogers Parkway expansion be the solution to that? I don't know, but we've got to keep talking about that because just like rivers were at the turn of the century, highways and interstates are now towards our future.
I've heard many comments from people that come out of that region that it used to be on the Hal Rogers Parkway and on these highways you would frequently see lots and lots of the coal trucks, and of course those are dwindling. So what's going to be in the trucks of the future coming out of eastern Kentucky and going to West Virginia or going elsewhere in terms of manufactured goods?
You know, I'm not sure. We've been industrial recruiting and manufacturing for some time, and I don't think we should stop by any means. But I do believe that we may be seeing in this diversified economy that there aren't trucks, that there, in fact, are folks that are working out of their offices or their homes, and they are contributing to the economy because they are working for Microsoft or Apple or some other large firm and outsourcing part of that firm's business and doing it from their home without actually having to export anything.
It may also be, you know, that it could be something I've heard folks say when they go on trips to other countries and they share Kentucky gifts. And folks' reaction in other countries to the gifts that are made here are amazing. And I think that that's an opportunity. So maybe what's getting shipped out or maybe some of our arts and crafts, our handmade items that are here, but then also looking at our industrial parks with our East Kentucky One that's going to come online, that is the organization that's going to think regionally and act locally in terms of economic development, and looking at those industrial parks and what kinds of assets are here that could be leveraged. You know, you think of, let's swing over to McCreary and Outdoor Ventures. You know, so Outdoor Ventures is there in McCreary County, and they're exporting all over the world. They're creating things, so why can't we do that in eastern Kentucky? Mm-hmm. And that's a potential. And so we need that focused economic development effort, which SOAR is bringing, the Promise Zone is bringing, and things like East Kentucky One that are going to really bring a whole bunch of groups together and counties. And that's important, I think, for us to move forward too.
This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. Economic development in eastern Kentucky, the SOAR initiative, shaping our Appalachian region. Our topic on this week's program, we're interested in hearing from you. Questions, comments, how about personal stories about how your family has been impacted or you have personally have been impacted by the economic downturn or how you're experiencing a recovery economically in this region. And, of course, you're welcome to call in or participate from wherever you happen to be listening. WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com, our email address. Send a tweet at WEKUEST or pick up the phone and call 800-621-8890. That's 800-621-8890. Sandy Curd, you are the Promise Zone Coordinator.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about Promise Zone. What's a Promise Zone and what's happening in there? What's being promised?
Oh, right. Well, The Promise Zone was established out of Washington, out of the executive branch. It was designated last January 2014. Five Promise Zones were announced in Los Angeles, San Antonio, Philadelphia, and then there were two rural ones. One was the Choctaw Nation of Southeast Oklahoma as an Indian tribe, and then there was us in Southeast Kentucky. We are the very first, and up to a week ago, were the only what we consider the rural Promise Zone, but since then they've added eight more zones, and the Low Country of South Carolina has been added as a rural one. But what this does is it was a population of 200,000 people were identified, and it said in this zone, we are looking for you to take and develop partnerships, and we will, on certain federal grants, offer priority points if you're in a Promise Zone region. Now, your grant still has to pass muster. It still has to get all the other points, but it gives us a competitive advantage on about 37 different federal initiatives. And it's also provided for us a way to focus our the attention for other funding opportunities. We have some private foundations that have made grants in our area that because they are able to see that, oh, look, this is that Promise Zone. It's one of the areas that has been designated that and has been distressed for a while but is suffering even more because of the coal economy, to be able to lend their support to the effort. The second thing a Promise Zone does is it gives you free technical support. Believe it or not, in our government, there's all sorts of little offices of expertise, too small to offer to the entire nation, but these offices have been made available to us to share in the Promise Zones. An example of which is a organization called 311 for Cities. It is like a vast literature search for cities to be able to share best practices among one another. And so every single mayor, of which the Promise Zone has 17, every single one of those mayors has been allowed to join into that effort for free. Therefore, if a mayor has a particular issue like how am I going to operate my police department on a downsized budget, well, maybe there's somebody else in the country that has that exact same problem and we could garner some ideas from that. The third thing, the Promise Zone, we're still waiting on and would really wish that that would come through, and that's a tax credit. One of the things that we saw during the Clinton administration in the 90s was the Empowerment Zone. The Empowerment Zone provided a tax credit for three counties, and there's promise of that happening for us as well, but it has to go through the Congress in order to be enacted.
We'll come back to the Promise Zone, economic development in Eastern Kentucky, SOAR, and your questions, comments, and stories, 800-621-8890, WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKUEST. That phone number again, 800-621-8890. It's Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations, as we've mentioned before, noting the passing of the great folk artist Jean Ritchie, and acknowledging that by using some of her music in today's program, very apropos to our topic of economic development in Eastern Kentucky. Our email address for your questions, comments, and stories for the program, WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com. Send us a tweet at WEKUEST. or give us a call at 800-621-8890. With us in the studio, Ian Moores, Executive Director of EKU's Center for Economic Development, and Sandy Curd, Promise Zone Coordinator for Kentucky Highlands Investment Corporation. And we're talking about the Shaping Our Appalachian Region initiative initiated by Governor Steve Beshear and Representative Hal Rogers, a very influential Republican leader, between the two of them, they put together the SOAR initiative. And Ian, you want to give us an update on some of the efforts that have been made with SOAR to maybe evaluate the current conditions and how things can move forward?
Well, recently, of course, we had our summit in May, and then recently Jared Arnett has been working with the International Economic Development Council. It's a national organization. SETID is a member of that. I think
Kentucky Highlands is
a member
as well.
Anyway, that was looking at the the skills, the challenges, the opportunities for diversifying the economy of Eastern Kentucky. So we were invited to Hazard to come and talk to these folks, and we're with them for about an hour. And some of the opportunities certainly are ones we've talked about. East Kentucky one is some of the opportunity to think regionally, act locally with in terms of economic development. We also need to look at diversifying our own incubator parks and look at ways we can put different things in there, like we're seeing with Alltech come in and look at. They want the dueling barrels brand and label, I believe it's going to be called. Maybe that's what's going to be going out on those trucks. Is some of our local food and some of our craft beers and craft distilleries that are looking at starting up. And then, our aerospace industry is the number one export in the state. And I think with Kentucky Space Science Center over at Moorhead and the ability to leverage some of those things across the region with our other regional universities and our other organizations, our Kentucky Highlands and our SCEDS and Center for Rural Development and MACID, you know, all these good folks that have been working hard in the region. And I think pulling those folks together and pushing this sort of hire our miners or, you know, different tech hire initiatives that East Kentucky Concentrated Employment is doing, and then our, of course, entrepreneurship. And we've talked a little bit about what we know the challenges are, but Sandy, if you want to expand on any of those.
Well, just to share with you, with the International Economic Development Council coming in, you know, they have a vast network, and we're not the first place in our country to have their economy just shift overnight. Examples being the steel industry in the Rust Belt, the car industry in Detroit, just all sorts of places, Silicon Valley even, reinvents itself ever so many years. So they brought in some of their membership who volunteered to drive all the way over here and to listen, to see whether or not they heard. Ian spent an hour with them. After him, there were elected officials that came in. After him, there were small and large employers. And they did that in three different locations in Pikeville and Hazard and Corbin, just to hear this, to see if they could think of, if they heard any similarities and could offer any words of wisdom for us. Another initiative has come out of NACO, the National Association of Counties, and their fellow NATO. They created a competitive challenge for coal-impacted counties, of which out of the Promise Zone, we had two of our area district development submit a team of 5 to 6 people that spent 3 days in a free workshop to be able to talk about the diversification. And frankly, all the ag districts of Eastern Kentucky were represented there. So everyone, you know, seems to be coming together around this SOAR initiative to be able to say, here's what we have, this is what we bring to the table, let's use it.
Economic development in Eastern Kentucky, our topic on this week's Eastern Standard, 800-621-8890. Your questions, your comments, your personal stories about how you've been impacted by the economy in Eastern Kentucky, 800-621-8890. Write to us by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com, or send a tweet at WEKUEST. Let us go to the phone and talk to, is it Dr. Valayan? Am I saying your name correctly, from Williamson, Kentucky, doctor?
Yes, I didn't hear you say my name, but that's okay. I'm Dr. Valayan.
I got it. All right.
I got it. I worked there for 40 years as a physician, right from when the times were good. I found one string of character in all the coal miners. They were very hardworking, diligent, family-oriented, and they're not afraid to work. It's unfortunate the coal mines had to go down. Now, my impression is that they are rich in resources, they're rich in soil and land, and there are times when people would chop lumber and work it. Now, given that fact, I was wondering, why not have a farm, a large-scale or small-scale farm, and even wineries, you know, to grow wines, and they do grow well. And if I remember those days, people, families used to have their own little farms, and they had corn fields, and they were self-sufficient. So that my question is that could anything be done to revitalize that form of industry?
Thank you for your call, Dr. Vallejan. We're so glad to hear from you.
Yes. Well, I can tell you that the ag development is a big part of our strategies. We have in our Promise Zone strategic plan action strategies for trying to exploit our natural resources without damaging them in our wood industry and adding value to that. The agriculture component, and I believe the governor mentioned something on this too, is just a big part of the diversification of our economy. What I adore about ag as a economic driver is the fact that you can get involved and learn all the parts that you need to learn about business without having to risk your house, your home, your car, your family's wealth, everything like that. You can do it with a minimum capital investment. But he's exactly right. That's one big part of the diversification.
Yeah, and there's two things going on in regards to that. One is the Kentucky Craft Dealers Distillers Network. The Kentucky Innovation Network, they're located at Pikeville, Moorhead, Richmond, London, all across the state. You can contact these folks and learn more about the Craft Distillers Network. And so let's say you're at home and you make your own beer, and it is, let's say it's Morel Mushroom Beer. I live in Estill County. I don't know if that's good or not, but let's just say for conversation's sake, okay? And I want to get that labeled and put in a restaurant, and we can do that. And that's part of the Craft Distillers Network, is identifying those people, but then also identifying folks that might want to partner on a larger scale. Yes. And start a distillery. And so that's a great opportunity. And then the second is the USDA has been hosting East Kentucky Food Network meetings with folks like Grow Appalachian, Community Farm Alliance, and Cooperative Extension, and other folks from EKU and other organizations across the state, including Apple Shop, to look at what can we do to sort of grow our own. And a big part of it is access in our area. So as the governor talks about our Kentucky uglies, one way that we could maybe address our Kentucky uglies and our health disparities is through more local food access. And we need to get that back. We've subsidized the local farmer to death, and so we need to bring that back.
One of the things that's been discussed, the legislatures have gone around and, of course, have approved and got federal approval for experimentation in growing hemp. Where does hemp fit into as a potential element of the economy?
Still being explored. I know that EKU is part of that research, as well as other universities, UK. I mean, I think that's another thing we're willing to look at and explore and
absolutely,
try.
Absolutely. I have people calling my office that are just like, please forward me anytime you hear of new information about that project expanding. They want to participate. They want to lease farmland to try it out.
All right. Let's go back to the telephone and talk to Jim from Mount Vernon about your question is about the potential of tourism in economic development. Jim, thanks for calling.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show. Yes, I've been a frequent visitor to the Virginia Creeper Trail in Virginia, of course, and it is a former railway that goes up a mountain, and it's been turned into a beautiful bikeway, and hikers and bikers use this, and I have seen all kinds of businesses spring up along that path. There have been bike repair shops. There are businesses that haul people, shuttle services, take them to the top of the mountain to ride down. There's restaurants, bed and breakfast, and that has really been a boon to the economy there. And I have also been in Wisconsin on a similar project. I did an article in 1976 for the Courier-Journal Sunday magazine, and I rode I believe it's about 30 miles, a rail-to-trail project, which went through the heart of the Wisconsin farmland, and there were trestles, tunnels. It was beautiful. And I talked to business owners up there to see how much business this enterprise brought. And it really was pretty significant. And I think Kentucky just has a wealth of these former abandoned railroad right-of-ways that would just lend themselves very well to this.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Not a county that I work in the Promise Zone has not been working on obtaining their trail town status. They're all in various stages of that. And Harlan County in particular has seen a lot of cooperation out of the railroad companies in wanting to work with them to make a rails to trail. And one of the things we learned is that the trails don't actually have to just be for, say, like horses or bikes or walking, but it can also be water trails. And so that brought in some other parts of our Promise Zone to be able to declare the North Fork of the Kentucky River as a water trail, to be able to offer the tourism aspect of kayaking and so forth. Our biggest challenge is as these efforts are moving forward is getting those words out so that folks like you who would go over to Virginia now know you don't have to drive as far and look at what you're going to be part of the entry level of enjoying that.
How's that going to get out? What's going to be done? A massive advertising campaign?
Well, you have it already taking place through the state. It's called the Kentucky Trail Town Program. So that Trail Town Program is looking at equestrian trails. It's looking at ATV trails, mountain bike trails, walking trails, hiking trails, caving trails, all kinds of trails. And the point being, Trail Town is the trails lead back to the town. And so you need to have these kinds of initiatives taking place to get the word out. You know, hikers know about Red River, the Red River Gorge, Natural Bridge. They know about those places. The thing is we need other people who are coming here to eat at our restaurants or eat locally or come visit family to also know about these places and how to access it. So tourism, our caller's right on. Tourism is a huge low-hanging fruit for us with all of our natural assets. Now, I don't think either one of us would advocate for us to be the next Dollywood or, you know, the next Gatlinburg. What we're talking about is building off of what is already there. The zip line tours, you know, that take place. When Cumberland, Benham, and Lynch in the Portal 21 mine, that's a destination. And the museum that's there, and the schoolhouse inn, the Benham School, those are the destinations. This is a place that when those secrets get out, I mean, people, these are amazing, amazing places to visit. And tourism is big. And so we just have to be careful that we don't put our bucket in one hat there because the risk is seasonal businesses.
Yeah. Sounds like exciting stuff, though.
But it's a lot of good stuff.
This is Eastern Standard. Thank you, Jim, for your call. Jim from Mount Vernon. Certainly we need to mention that at this year's SOAR Strategy Summit, the Secretary of Labor, Thomas Perez, announced $35 million in federal funding for areas such as Eastern Kentucky. Sandy Curd, where does that money go, and what do we actually get in Eastern Kentucky that will be helpful to the economy?
Well, essentially, they have prioritized that for the coal-impacted communities, and I have been, I guess, dozens of conversations where folks are like, oh my goodness, this is what we need to read over this. We need to go after the planning part, or we need to go after the implementation part. I know the state of Kentucky is looking at what projects could we be able to implement over into Eastern Kentucky. I talked yesterday with the the Community Foundation for Appalachian Kentucky. They also have a program that they would like to be able to fund. We don't know what that's going to materialize, but with that prioritization that they've given for that money, then it's shame on us if we don't go and put as many ideas in front of them as possible.
Next steps for SOAR, next steps for economic development in Eastern Kentucky? What will our listeners be hearing about?
I'd like our listeners to be hearing about our future being tied to our youth. I'd like SOAR to actually look at and create a SOAR Youth Commission So I'd like not a working committee, not a working group, but an actual commission, and identify kids from across the region, whether they're of no economic means or wherever they come from, that they are given an opportunity for their voice to be heard. And I hope that that's a challenge I'm throwing back out to Jared and others, to say, let's really, really roll our sleeves up and get our youth involved, because they are the future and they are the ones we need to be fighting for, as well as those laid off miners, as much as we can do for them right now. But we also have to be thinking about the future. And I think that's, for me, the most important thing that I want to hear.
Absolutely. One of the things, John, that, you know, the governor was like, and you had asked him in that conversation about when will we see the results of all of this? And I've been telling our folks in the Promise Zone that I don't think we're actually going to go and say, see, here's the result. I think it's going to be more of a feeling. I think the folks in our area are going to feel a change, and that change is going to be, they're going to drive down Main Street and suddenly it's going to be like, well, when did this restaurant get here? Well, when did this coffee shop get here? You know, they're going to go to their church, and that, you know, they're going to realize that, wow, we just had six new couples over the last 6 months join our church. When has that happened in our history? A long time ago. You know, so I think that that what you're going to hear out of SOAR is going to be a change of feelings and observations. They don't have front page ribbon cuttings for small businesses with one employee.
All right. Well, sounds like exciting stuff. And of course, I know both of you are interested in hearing from the public. We have links to your operations, to the Center for Economic Development and Entrepreneurship and Technology at Eastern Kentucky University. We'll have that on our website at weku.fm. Certainly, Sandy Curd, Promise Zone Coordinator for Kentucky Highlands Investment Corporation. We have a link for you on there. And we're grateful for your time. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you, Ian, for being part of this week's Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations.
Thank you.
And thank you also to Governor Steve Beshear for his time in updating us on economic development and SOAR. This program, by the way, will be available as a podcast and available for listening online from our website, weku.fm. Eastern Standard is a production of the WEKU stations at Eastern Kentucky University. Associate producers are Noah Day and Brian Burkhart, who together put together today's program. Our technical director is Brian Bartlett, and Noah Day has been on the phones. We're always interested in hearing from you. Write to us at wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. For WEKU and Eastern Standard, I'm John Hingsberg, and thanks for tuning in.
Now they're standing rusty road.